Welcome to Sunset Gospel Hour. We continue with our series dealing with earnestly contending for the Word of God. Tonight, the title of our message is Fearless Unto Death. Do you fear death? Oh, nobody likes death, but it is inevitable. In the Dark Ages, people were kept from the Word of God by the threat of death. But there is something that overcomes death, that takes away the fear of death, which we all must have. And that is faith. Faith overcomes fear. For unless you have the faith, you will be constantly worried about death. In the Dark Ages, there's one power over Europe. And that power has grown. At that time, the whole of Europe was under the power of this global system, at least it thought it was. And nobody dared to read the Word of God or to possess it for fear of death until God moved. We'll deal with that in a moment. Our text deals with a time before the Dark Ages, to the time of Moses. And there the threat again was of death. How do you overcome that death, that fear of death? Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 27. So that we may understand that there is a solution to that fear of death. If there is anyone here who is very afraid of death, come to Jesus, who gives you the faith. Then once you have the faith, you know what are the issues, how to overcome this fear. Hebrews 11 verse 24 talks of a man called Moses. The time that it refers to in this verse is when Moses was 40 years old. You all know the story of Moses, don't you? Remember how he was put in a little cradle of bulrushes, because the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had given the command that all Hebrew or Jewish children who are males will be thrown into the river Nile to be eaten by crocodiles. But because the parents were God-fearing and God-trusting, they saved this boy, Moses. And the subsequent story you all remember. How he was spotted and adopted by the princess of Egypt. So he is grown and brought up in the royal court of Egypt to be a royal prince, Prince Moses. Now we take up the story from there, verse 24. By faith, and this is what I mentioned just now, if you have faith, and not any faith, please understand, we are talking of faith in the one true living God, our Lord Jesus, you must have that faith. Without that faith, you have nothing. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, 40, there is a saying that goes like this, life begins at 40. You think you have been so smart and you know all about life when you're 20, 25? No. Moses, when he was 40, come 2 years, he decided that he was not going to continue in the royal court now. You say, what a fool. But he knew. He knew his origin. That he was a child of God, one of the Jews. And he knew that God had a plan for his people. Do you know God has a plan for us, his people? For this world is not our home. And once you know that, you know that you have a home prepared for you. Then your fear of death goes. I won't say altogether, because in the flesh we are still a little scary of death. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was 40, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, if Moses had continued in the royal court, he could well have become the Pharaoh, the next Pharaoh, and to, at that time, decide that he was going to identify himself with the Jews. Amazing, you say, miscalculation. What do you think? Oh, my friends, in God there is no miscalculation, no mishaps. God's will was taking its effect on this young man, Moses. Verse 25, that he made a choice. You say, what a fool. He could have been the prince, the next Pharaoh. You know what is a Pharaoh? The most powerful man on earth at that time. The head of the greatest power on earth. Go to Egypt, go to Cairo today. Look at the pyramids. The mystery of the pyramids. How they move those pieces of stone up to 500 feet high. How many pieces? 2-3 million pieces to build one big pyramid. And they did it. What a great country. What a great empire. But Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to whom he belonged. He knew. I'm not an Egyptian, although I'm an Egyptian prince. But God has called me. Do you know that God has called you? If so, your life should be directed by God. By the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that matters, nothing else. Tonight, the topic is fearless unto death. How can you have that removal of the fear of death? Here is Moses, fearing not the wrath of the king, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Read the book of Exodus, the first couple of chapters, and see how the people of God groaned. 400 years in Egypt, they had grown from 70 to 2 million. Possible? Absolutely possible. But they were slaves. They were foreigners in a foreign land. And the Egyptians harnessed them to be work animals, just work, work, work for them as slaves. So they groaned. And God raised a man called Moses. Here it is, we are talking about him. To suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew, if he didn't take any move,
he was going to be the next Pharaoh. And all the treasures and all the power is in his hand. Why should he do such a foolish thing? I say, dear friends, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is more powerful than men. Moses moved. Verse 29 says, esteem the reproach of Christ. Ah, who was calling him? Amazing, Jesus Christ. The pre-incarnate Jesus was speaking to him and calling him, you are my people. You are not of the Jews, not of the Egyptians, but you are a Jew. Called to be my people. When the time came, he moved. How did he move? Answer, by faith. So as we go into tonight's topic, ask yourself, do I have that faith? If not, why not? You say, how can I have that faith? Answer, in Jesus Christ alone, the author and finisher of our faith. What is faith? Simply believing in God and His Word and obeying that Word. That is faith. That's how we become a Christian. That's how Moses moved out of the palace to become a fugitive and refugee, to run away from the palace, all because he thought it was time. But God had other plans for him. Verse 26. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. You know, the treasures in Egypt are still there. Amazing treasures. Inside the pyramids they've excavated and gone underground, or the underground crypts and the hidden rooms, buried treasures. But in those days, it was the greatest civilization on the whole of planet Earth. And then for this man called Moses to give up all that, for what? I say, dear friends, when God calls, you give up. When God called John Sung, PhD in chemical engineering, on top of the academic world, give up. Esteeming the reproach of the cross to become a follower of Jesus Christ, to become a servant of Jesus. What a foolish thing he did, wasn't it? But God used him to turn hundreds of thousands of Chinese, his own people, to the Lord. So much so that some years ago, when our people went to China, all those who were still fervently, actively serving the Lord had traced their roots to John Sung. Here is a man greater than John Sung. The greatest leader of men in all time was Moses. We're reading about him. A man of faith. As you hear this thrilling story, aren't you moved? Pray that God will give you that faith to see through the treasures and the wealth and the pomp and power. Ah, today in Singapore, we are not talking of millionaires. We're talking of billionaires. They're so... millionaires are cheaper by the dozen. Now, you want to be big, you've got to be a billionaire. Moses says, what's all that to me? I am God's servant. I will be God's servant. I say, if God is calling anyone, respond in faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. You want glory? Here is glory. Glory that transcends the grave, transcends all time. So here is Moses, verse 26. esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God, open his eyes. There is great recompense. You give up that for something far, far better. Much better. You can be the Pharaoh. You die a Pharaoh. That's all. But here is Moses going to be the greatest leader of the greatest people on earth, the Jews. Do you know that? We've run a series on the Jewish people twice in this sanctuary. God's people. Today, they are the exceptional people on earth. Exceptional. If you go by proportion of the number of Jews versus the number of people, where do they stand in the place of ranking in the top ranks of every field? In every field, they outnumber the other races. Far, far outnumber. Nobel Prize winners, top ranks, all Jews. Do you know that? And here is a Jew, Moses, called by God. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As it were, he saw the Lord Jesus calling him to be a leader of his people, to take them out of bondage into the promised land. Now you say, what are you talking about all these things for? We're talking about the Bible, isn't it? Well, I say we come back to faith. Here is a man of faith. Because he had the faith and God showed him, there is a great work I want you to do. There is something far more important and far more precious than your royal court of Egypt. For 1,000 years, Europe was under one power. And that power today has grown 1,000 times bigger than then. And at that time, those who dared to open the Word of God, who dared to read the Word of God, were caught, were burned. What do you think of burning? What a way to die. About 50 years ago, we used to watch or read in the newspapers. Remember the people called the Viet Cong? And they were tired of the French rule in Indochina. And they say, we want to protest, but we don't know how. We can't fight them because they are powerful. You know what they did? They went to the city center, sit on the main road, pour petrol on themselves and put a match. And they went up. You say, what fools. After a while, the French say, give up. You can't fight the Viet Cong. They are willing to, for the sake of getting rid of us, so we better pack up and go. Fire is no danger to them. They welcome it and they won. Now, I'm not applying that in any way of faith, but it is one tactic they used to prove that they were not afraid of fire. Now, in Jesus Christ, are you afraid of fire? Do you remember the story of the three friends of Daniel? You remember how Nebuchadnezzar built a statue 70 feet high of gold and gave the order, all people in my province of Babylon, when you hear the sound of music, you've got to bow down and worship. All agreed, except these three young people. Why did they not agree? Because they were God's people. And they had the faith. And they said, King, We will not bow down to your image and your order. Because we have a God who is the true living God. And He is able to protect us from your fire. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your image. That is faith. So they dared the Nebuchadnezzar, who said, wow, these upstarts dare to oppose my command. Increase the fire 7 times. And in the throwing of these 3 into the furnace, the throwers themselves got burnt and died. See how fierce was that fire. The 3 of them went in, and Nebuchadnezzar from afar was watching. Wow! They're walking around in the fire. And instead of 3, there were 4. And he says, one is like the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was walking with them. So now you understand the meaning of faith. Faith overcomes fear, overcomes even the power of fire. Now in the Dark Ages, this world power which I said a moment ago has grown 1,000 times more powerful than then. Today is so powerful. And you can hardly guess what that power is. It's the same power as the one that ruled in Europe in the Dark Ages, in the Middle Ages. But I say, dear friends, when God moves and His people obey, you are mightier than any world power. So, we're talking of England. England was a bit removed out of Europe, although it is part of Europe, but because of the separation by the sea, God began a work in that country. It is significant, understand, I'll explain to you, that in this country, God began to move so that even before the century of the Reformation, which was the 16th, in the 14th, God raised a man called Wycliffe. Who was Wycliffe? Wycliffe was one of the most educated, most wonderful Englishmen at that time. But the most wonderful thing about Wycliffe was he knew the Lord Jesus. And he was called, look, your people, the English, are all under the iron heel of Rome. The whole of Europe. And here, we in England, all the churches are under the control of Rome. And our people are not allowed to read the Bible. Wycliffe said, that is not right. The Word of God is the life and light. Without the Word of God, what can you do? So, like Moses, he chose not to become popular. He could have risen to be a very high official in the church if he had wanted. He was a professor in the university. But he says, no. What my people need most is the Word of God. And I say the same thing applies today. What you and I need most is the Word of God. Not power or wealth or influence or popularity or anything else. Nothing else counts. You know the Word of God and love the Word of God. That is the most important thing. And God gave him that faith. So he did one thing. My people need to know the Word of God. But the only Bible was in Latin. How many of you can read Latin? The most difficult dead language that is on earth. I went to school and I studied Latin for 4 years. You say, what a fool. I guess I admit I was a big fool. But in those days, the fools up in the university
concocted a condition. You cannot study medicine if you don't know Latin, because all the medical names are in Latin. I say, what fool, what fools. If you want to know the medical names in Latin, it takes you 2 weeks. You can know everything. Why do we have to need 2 hours of study every day for 4 years? Wow, we all went through it. And it was the language of the Bible. Only the Latin Bible called the Vulgate was available. Now who can read? Nobody can read. Except people like John Wycliffe. He was a professor and he knew it. And he says, now let me translate. So he brought out the first ever Bible in English, 1352. Almost 150 years before the first ever English Bible was translated by Tyndale. Now both are English. So tonight we are talking of what happened in England. John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe not only translated, in order that his people could read the Word of God in English. What's the use of having a Bible that you cannot read? And here is the man who gave the English the first ever English Bible. John Wycliffe was also a gospel preacher. Not only did he believe, but he went out to preach. And not only did he preach, but he taught and he trained young men. What for? So that he multiplied himself. It's no use one man preaching if he can train up a whole team of preachers, and he did. So he preached, he trained these young preachers called the Lollards. And they went out and here is the church where he was the, his church. Lutterworth Church. Those days, they spent a lot of money building churches. And here is Wycliffe with his preacher boys. Wycliffe taught them not just to understand, but how to preach, and not only how to preach, but how to suffer. They were poor preachers. Poverty was their trademark. All you want to go is go out to your own people, tell them the gospel, tell them there is salvation in Jesus Christ by faith. And not according to what the priests were teaching in the churches. Please understand, the churches were all under the power of Rome. And there they were not allowed to read the Bible. Now this is the first time they're allowed to read the Bible. The first time that they can listen to the Word of God. Because John Wycliffe sent forth teams of preachers. And they were not only taught how to preach, how to live a poor, lowly life, but the most important thing is how to die. They were all prepared. If we are arrested by the Roman authority, the punishment is death. How to die? By fire. Amazing. Did they say, no, we better give up? Not at all, dear friends. Faith overcomes fear. Because those people taking after John Wycliffe were fearless and faithful. So they went forth. Do you know the influence spread even to Bohemia, the present Czechoslovakia?
spread across on the continent, so that even 60, 80 years after, there were Lollards in Bohemia preaching the gospel. So powerful was John Wycliffe's teaching and preaching. He taught them to preach. He taught them poverty. He taught them how to die. And they did. And when they were being burned, do you know what? Their captors hung the Wycliffe Bible on their necks to be burned together. By the way, it took Wycliffe and his team of translators 10 months to copy one copy of the Bible. 10 months. They were very important additions to the armory. William Tyndale came afterwards. This was 15th to 16th century. Who was William Tyndale? A genius of language. He was a student both in Cambridge, Oxford, and he knew, of course, English, because he's English. He knew French, Spanish, German, Italian, and he could translate. So he translated. He said, I will give my life. When God called him and the Spirit came upon him, he was persuaded, I will give my life. He never married, because his life would not allow him to marry. Because he was single, he could move. He could run when he was under pursuit, so that he could translate. And he says, I will give my life to ensure that one day, God willing, the plowboy in the fields would know more of the Word of God than you priests standing in the churches pretending to preach when they told them all wrong doctrines. That is William Tyndale. So much hunted and haunted by the law. He had to run. He ran to the continent. And they pursued him there. But he never gave up. You know, he brought forth the first ever translation of the English Bible in the New Testament from the original manuscripts, copies, texts. He brought forth the first one, 1525. But then they pursued him and he ran to the continent to enter. But they sent spies. You know what are spies? Pretending to be a friend. One man went there pretending and made friends with him so as to locate him, to know where he was hiding, and then betrayed him, and they found him. 1536 was the date when they assassinated him, or they can call it executed him. However, he left for the English people the first ever, you say, did you say the first ever was John Wycliffe's? Yes. That was the first ever translated from Latin. Now this one was translated from Greek. William Tyndale. So when they executed William Tyndale in Holland, he had a friend called John Rogers. And John Rogers took over. Where his friend left off, he continued to translate. And they caught him. Here is John Rogers being burned. They asked him, John Rogers, you like to recant? You know what is a recant? Just say, I go back, I don't believe what I said. Please forgive me. And then you go free. He says, no, I will prove my faith by my blood. You can burn me. My friends, The body they may kill, God's word abideth still. No matter what you do, you cannot destroy God's word. So, out of that came forth the word of God. Eventually, the complete Bible was translated. Before then and by then, dozens of English people, because they were so faithful and gripped by the love of God, they were not afraid of death. All they wanted was either I have a copy or I go and attend a Bible reading class. I like to listen to the word of God. And when they were caught, they were burned. You know who was the chief who made them burn? Mary Tudor, Queen of Scots. The Queen of England, because she was queen of both. And she was a fervent, ardent Roman Catholic, and she put them all to the fire. The body they may burn, God's word abideth still. The body they may kill, God's word abideth still. You cannot destroy God's word. So we continue to study this series. Why is it we are so strong and firm about King James Bible? Do you know why? It is the Bible that these three people translated. This is the Bible. Who? John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, John Rogers. You say, but the King James Bible was from six other Bibles. True? Yes, true. But these were the founders, these were the pioneers who came out and began. So that Wycliffe's Bible, Tyndale's Bible, went into this Bible. Do you know 85% of Tyndale is inside here? So that we hold to this Bible today. Not for nothing, but because of its history and the fact that this Bible alone is uncontaminated. Today, the power that used to execute those who read the Word of God do not execute those who do this. They are master tacticians. You know what is tactician? When it is opportune and effective to burn, we burn. No, you cannot, because too many people, and whatever you do, the whole world knows. So now they do a different tactic. Tactician. What is the different tactic? Don't prevent them from reading this one, but we put 100 contaminated copies. Take your choice. The number one today is no longer King James Bible, but it is NIV. Wow. 2 weeks ago, did you read all about the owner of NIV? You ever heard of News Corp? Do you ever heard of Rupert Murdoch? He's the man who owns NIV. And why is it so good to own NIV? It's money, money, money. The first printing, first run, 100 million copies. By today, that Bible has displaced King James Bible. Is old-fashioned people in Calvary Pandan still hanging on to this Bible. But dear friends, please understand, this is the unadulterated, the original, the one that cost the blood of three men in here. Who? I've shown you. John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, John Rogers, all burnt. He said, not Wycliffe. I agree, not Wycliffe. Wycliffe was saved by God.
He had a heart attack and he died. But they dug up his bones and burned his bones. So he was burnt.
My dear friends, we continue in this wonderful series. Why we still hang on to this Bible? I say, until Jesus returns, I will read only this Bible. You say, oh yeah, all the time, these and thou, I cannot understand. I say,
please understand. Let me tell you this. Harvard University, all our president scholars go to Harvard. Harvard University did a research on the various Bibles and said, this one, the English, is the best. You have to understand it is King James Bible, understandable, best Bible for language.
So, how can we overcome the fear of death? By faith we overcome.
To know that our God is the God of life, God of truth. Without truth, how can you have life?
So continue to come, dear friends. Bring a friend. All these empty seats means we still have place for others. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved for us. In the English language, O Lord, we thank Thee that it was in English, for Thou hast willed that today the global language of communication and science and technology is English. And in this one language, Thy word has been preserved for us, intact, in the King James Authorized Version Bible. Bless Your people that they will love this Bible. And they will read it and be blessed by it. Bless all Your people here tonight. And help us that we will continue to stand up for Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.